So what I said last week was that the parables are stories that Jesus told, Jesus the storyteller, to a particular audience, making a particular point. I had said that this week we're going to look at the parable of the sower. And so I'm really familiar with this idea, because for some of you that don't know, I was given the task in beginning of June to prepare our backyard, which is pretty big, for a backyard wedding due to COVID. So my daughter, my second daughter, was getting married, and because of COVID, she couldn't do it at this place, and then she narrowed it down. No, we can't do it in that place. So they ended up saying, Dad, we're doing it in the backyard. My backyard was not ready. So my wife said, there were more weeds than there was grass. There were bare spots and dead spots. And so every morning, I said to her, okay, here's what I can do, Bonnie. Every morning, I can get up early. I'm up early anyway. And I will put in 2-3 hours just working out in the yard. And I'll just take it a step at a time. I'm past the age of just saying, for one full day, I'm going to do it all, and I'm not going to go to bed, I'm not going to eat dinner until it's all done. No, that doesn't work for me. Instead, here's a slice, here's a slice, here's a slice. So the goal was, and she made it a little simple on me, she said, listen, you don't have to get rid of all the weeds. What you need to do is make it all look green. I'm like, okay. I think I can do that. I think I can plant seed where there needs to be seed. And I think I can keep watering a little down, a little, even the weeds, to keep them green and figure out what level to cut them at that I can fool people. Can you bring me down? I'm really booming here. Thank you. Cut it down so that it kind of looks like grass from a distance, right? Looking out over it. Oh, look, okay, there's no bare spots. It's green. So that's what I did every single morning, all the way through until the end of August. So for 2 months. And so when we chose, talking with Nicole and the kids team, we chose this one. I'm like, okay, man, I've got a lot of material and a lot of experience over this summer to understand this. I could actually do a whole series just on this, easily. But I won't do that. I'll limit myself to just the 2 hours I've been given. No, I'm not going to give 2 hours. I'm not going to do that. But let's jump right into the story. So we're going to be looking at Matthew 13. And we're going to look through the story. We're going to look through then what it means and how Jesus explains it. So Matthew 13, verse 3, it says this. Then he told them many things, meaning Jesus, talking to his disciples, in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other translations say along the side of the road. Other translations say a well-worn path. The idea is this was packed ground, stepped on ground, hard soil. So the seed just sits on top. And as it's sitting on top, never into the soil, never finding its way into the soil, he says that the birds come and scoop it up and take it away. It's gone. Let's continue. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. So in this case, the seed falls down. The soil's not hard packed. It's been disturbed a little bit. It's a little bit soft. And it starts to grow. And plants grow downward before they grow upward. That's how they survive. They grow downward and then they grow upward. Well, in this case, it can only go downward to a certain level because there's rocks. And it takes time for those roots to either work their way around, or if it's like bedrock, that's as far as it goes. And then it shoots up. So from the outside, it looks like, wow, that grew fast. but it didn't grow deep. As a result, it grows tall, but it's weak. So when the sun comes up and shines on it, it kills it. There were no strong roots to anchor and sustain it so it could survive. Let's continue. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. So this is weedy ground. And what happens is the seed's there, the weeds are there also. But the weeds grow faster. If the weeds grow faster, it chokes it out. The seed can't either get light or can't get enough soil, can't get enough water, and it dies being choked out by the weed. It gets smothered. The plant could not compete with the weeds, which grew faster, and it dies. Verse 8, still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. And he ends and says, whoever has ears, let them hear. That's Jesus' way of saying, consider this. Think about this. I had shared last week that one of my professors said that when you see a parable, you have to be asking, what does it say about God, or who is God in this instance? And what does it say about me? What character do I relate to? How is it speaking into my life? The good soil was fertile soil. It grows deep, it grows strong, it multiplies, and it brings fruit. So what's going on here? Is it a bad farmer? Doesn't know where to plant the seeds, where to place them? Is it bad seed that it needs a lot of maintenance? Is it just bad conditions? Well, here's the thing. In this story, the seeds that are being planted are the good news, the gospel of Jesus. The sower, the person planting those seeds, spreading those seeds, is the Holy Spirit. He's the one who impresses on people, shows them truth, guides them along the way, draws them to Jesus. The soil is our life. It's good news because we're declared not guilty. That's why the gospel's called good news. It's good news because we're free and we've been empowered over sin. It's good news because we have a new home, a new father. And one day we'll have a new body when we see him face to face and spend eternity with him as Jesus is, as God's favored children. So as he leaves that, it then makes the people that are hearing, those that have the ears to hear, those that are willing to consider it, to go, what is he saying? What's he mean? What's going on? And we talked about last week how the religious leaders would look super deep, and they would look at what is the meaning of each individual word. And as a result, the whole overall idea went right over their heads because they were looking too deep. These are simple stories. These are not complicated stories. So then he tells them, okay, here's what this means. Picking up in verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom of God and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. So the ground is packed, we said. It's hard. They're saying that that's like someone who hears the good news, doesn't reject it, considers it, thinks about it, but doesn't really understand it. And in this word, understand means they don't accept it. It's not about knowledge. By the way, understanding, let me make this really super clear. Whenever you're reading the Bible and it talks about understanding, it is not talking about head knowledge. Whenever it talks about knowing, it is not talking about intellectual knowledge. It's talking about transformation. It's talking about understanding so that it becomes a part of us and then it's lived out through us. So these people hear it, but they don't accept it. And it just lays there on the packed ground. And the enemy, seeing the damage that that seed could have, sitting on that ground, should it take root, somehow, some way, comes and steals it away. What needs to happen is that hard ground needs to be broken up. In that hard ground is a darkness. That's where the first tool comes in. When I would encounter hard ground that I needed to grow seed in, and by the way, this wasn't instantly, okay? This wasn't like, hey, I know what needs to happen. No, I put seed down on the packed ground. I watered it for the seed that was supposed to take quick root for 2 weeks. And then I realized, well, it's growing here. It's not growing there. And it's because the ground was all worn down, packed down. That's the reason there wasn't any grass there to begin with. So I went out and I got this thing. And if you like doing destruction, and this is the tool for you, this is awesome, right? And so what this does is you stick it down in the ground, and then you turn it. And when you turn it, it takes that packed ground, and it turns it over. It's basically a hand tiller, okay? And it rips up any of the roots that are lying just underneath. It disturbs everything that's already there, making it easier for the seed to take root. In Ephesians 4:18, we need to break the ground of darkness. And Ephesians 4:18 says this, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life of God, far from the life God gives, because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. Close their mind and harden their hearts against him. It needs to be broken up. It needs to be disturbed. In this case, in the parable, they're talking about people who hear the word but don't accept it. 1 John 5:20 says, we know also that the Son of God that come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. What that verse is saying is that the understanding and the truth come from the same place. They come from God, working through the Holy Spirit, but they come from God. The people that have that hard soil, that have not accepted it, they need to believe. They need to put their faith in Jesus. And it needs to be a personal belief and a personal choice that will allow the seeds that the Holy Spirit plants to drop into the soil, to find soil so that it can grow, so that it can take root and be fruitful. The enemy comes down to stop the process, it says there, to take away those seeds. The birds that are coming down in this case are the enemy taking away the seeds. He does that before it ever gets a chance to root. He does it with doubt. He does it with distraction. So that if you're at the point where you've heard the good news, you believe it, but you haven't accepted yet, don't give up. Keep digging. Don't let the enemy steal it away from you. Nelson, can we get these two lights that are literally rotisserieing me here down, even off? Woo! Let's continue. Verse 20, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and all at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, they quickly fall away. This is the rocky ground. They hear it, they accept it, and it even says they accept it with joy, but there's no roots. And there's a barrier to those roots growing deeper. And as a result, their faith wilts. The sun comes up, and the sun in this case is trials, is difficulties, is challenges. Now, a lot of us would look at this and say, well, the problem is it's in the sun. We got to cover up these plants. We got to protect them. No, the problem is they don't have a deep enough root system. So this is where, it was out of order. This is where this comes in, right? Just a shovel to dig up what's there, to remove those rocks so those roots can grow down in, so that the soil is fertile and the roots can be strong, so that when the troubles come, when the testing comes, instead of not being able to withstand it, it stands stronger. That's what needs to happen. The prevailing weed that I was having a problem with, the weeds in my backyard, was this thing called Japanese stiltweed. Okay? And it is an invasive weed. Some of you are nodding, right? So you hear me, right? You understand. It is an invasive weed that will spread over your whole lawn, and the seeds, I learned a lot about this, you got to know your enemy, last for 5 years. You think it's gone? Comes back. Think it's gone? Comes back, right? But here's the interesting thing about it. It grows literally in less than an inch of soil. Nothing. So in the mornings, I would get up and go, all right. And I would put my stool down, and I would just grab the weed like this. And it would come out, like super simple. It's a great forearm workout, but you just pull it. Just comes out, just comes out, just comes out, just comes out. Why? No roots. Nothing deep there. It doesn't even need the rocky ground, right? But he's saying here, we need to be able to have soil that can allow the seed to grow, allow the seed to come down in so that our faith doesn't wilt. Colossians 3 says this, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. The word I want you to take away from on that is dwell. If we want our roots to grow, we have to dwell. We have to take the time. We have to take the time to understand. We have to take the time to build that relationship stronger with Jesus. It takes dwelling. We need to dwell with Jesus. We need to let it soak in and penetrate. But the people with the shallow soil, they don't do the dwelling. Whether it's trust, but they don't do that. And so sometimes it's because that those rocks, like in that picture that was shown, the rocks are actually right underneath the soil, just that little cartoon. Rocks are right underneath the soil, and it stops. And so for sometimes we don't dwell with Jesus, we don't get our roots down deeper because something's blocking us. It's stopping us from seeking. Being with Jesus, a busy mind, a fearful mind, a convicted mind, a guilty mind, even after you've confessed it. Whatever it is, it needs to be dug up. And if we start with the dwelling, then the Spirit will show us what needs to be dug. And tell you there's this area, you need to dig down, Dan. You need to remove this. It's in the way. It's limiting you. It's stopping you. It's hindering you. It needs to be dug up so that the Word of God can transform us and change the way we think, act, and live. You see, when we allow God's Word and Jesus' love to penetrate our hearts, our minds, our souls, we become transformed from the inside out. And to do that, we need to dig up those barriers and those blockages. The third, verse 22, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but worries that this life, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. So this is our third ground. This is weedy ground, right? Thorn ground, contaminated ground. My grass is contaminated with this weed that's growing up. And it says here that they hear it, they believe it, they're even living it, but they have weeds. And as I said, the weeds grow faster than the grass. For this Japanese still weed that I was talking about, I should have brought you some pictures. What happens is, I told you it grows shallow, it also grows out. So it just kind of comes out like this, bigger than a clover. It's just kind of like this own little weed that has. But as a result, the grass that's underneath can't get sun. It's smothered and it's dead. When I was pulling out, when I got to certain places and I was pulling out, my wife actually had to say, okay, you need stop now. Because everything underneath there is bare. The wedding is in 2 weeks and you're not going to have time. So you need to just stop. I'm like, okay, all right, I'll do something else for that morning. But what happens is underneath that, the grass was all dead. The weed had smothered it. The weed had stolen the sunlight. The weed had choked it out. And that's what it's saying. The weeds grow faster. And the reason is, it says, their faith is weak because they're consumed by distractions. Now, it only mentions two kinds of distractions. It doesn't mean those are all the distractions. But these are two key categories that Jesus is saying we need to be aware of. So the first is worry. I don't know about you, but when I worry, it's always about what may happen and my lack of control of stopping it from happening. It's about my control more than trusting in God. And then it talks about wealth or achievements. It's not that wealth and achievements are bad, but what's the priorities? That's what it's saying here. You see, their focus, the people in the weed ground, in the contaminated ground, we become focused on the wrong things. And our faith is not fruitful. And eventually we'll become weak. And we go back again to when the storms come, it can't stand up. I need to say something about this. First off, I find it very interesting that the example of the weed, where it talks about the weed, is the shortest section of all of them, but I think it's the most common. I think at times the church, meaning the Big C Church, of which we're a local expression of, has tried in my age, in my generation, has tried to make understanding and accepting Jesus so easy that it requires so little that the roots don't grow deep. I have seen this, people. I have seen where people have accepted Jesus, been on fire for Jesus, are turning their lives over to Jesus, and then when the trouble comes, the things they don't understand, and they doubt God, they hit a brick wall. And often, too often, they give up. They give up their faith. Feels like about every couple of weeks, I'm now reading about somebody else, some other religious voice, I won't call them leaders, but voices who are now saying, nope, It's not true. I don't see it anymore. Influence doesn't mean you have deep roots. Now, we get deep roots by dwelling with God. That's how we get deep roots. And so here it's talking about the priorities, the distractions, basically. The worries, is it for me? Did Jesus really do this for me? Even with my past, Jesus did this for me. Is it real? Is it still available? I'm focused on the wrong thing. The distractions of achievements and accumulation, they don't bring happiness. Hey, if there's anything we can learn from all that's happened, not just in this last year, but over the last 5 to 6 years, there is no such thing as security. I don't care where you thought your security was previously. I'll go back to my generation, whether it was in the 401k, poof. Whether it was in the house, in the value of the house, poof. Whether it was in the bank account, poof. Whether it was in my position and the achievements that I try, poof. At different times, it's all been shown that, as Solomon said, it's all vanity. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean it's all pride, saying it's not worth anything. Does not bring happiness, does not bring joy, does not bring satisfaction. So what do we need to do? This is my even though I picked it up used, this is my newest and my favorite tool. And appropriately so, this is called, where is it? There it is. You won't be able to see it. But it's called Grandpa's Weeder. Because it goes all the way back, supposedly, I don't know what to believe from marketing, what not to believe from marketing, but it goes all the way back to early 1900s, where, because, and you can see what's happening here, right, is that this is all kind of cast iron, and it goes like this, that this was the way to get rid of the weeds. And the way this works is you take this over the weed. My favorite is with dandelions. Dandelions are brutal. I was going to send you some pictures. I had dandelions with roots that went this deep and were this wide around because they just work out like a web and infect everything. So you kind of find the center and you push it down in, and then you step on this to force it down into the ground, right? So you're trying to get it down into the center of the weed. And then when you go to pry it out, see what happens? It closes on it. And then it leverages it and it pulls it out. Right? That's what we need to do with weeds. We need to root them out. We need to pull them out. We can't just cut them back. They come back. We've got to try to be able to separate what is the weed. So what is the weed in your life? The weeds in your life are the falsehoods. They could be false platforms. They could be false ideas. They could be false values. They could be false priorities. But the key is, they're false, and they need to be rooted out, and then they need to be discarded. The text here talks about them becoming distractions, and that's the biggest problem. We start to focus on the weeds that were no longer tending to the garden. They're distractions, and what we need to do is we need to get back to the truths and remove anything that's not the truths. When your faith is failing, you need to personalize and proclaim God's promises. Let me break that down for you, that idea. When my faith is wilting, when it can't stand up, or when it's getting choked out by the weeds, I need to go back to the truth of my value. I need to go back to the truth of my identity. I need to personalize it, and I need to proclaim it. Personalize it because it's easy to hide in we all, right? For God so loved the world. True. But what's the effect on me? For God so loved me. For God so loved Dan that he gave his only son. that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So what are those promises that we need to be able to fight those false distractions and weeds? That I am a child of God. That I am loved. Period. Not I am loved if. Not I am loved when. I am loved. That he who began a good work in me will be faithful to complete it. That I am more than conquerors. That my God will provide all my needs according to his riches and glory. That I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. See, we go back to those promises, we personalize it, and we proclaim it and say, no, what the weeds are telling me, how they're distracting me, is not true. That is not my identity. That is not my future. That is not my destiny. My destiny is found in Jesus and in his promises. Matthew 7 says, so if you, sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? We can go to God and ask for what we need. We can go to God and ask for what we want. Sometimes we can't tell the difference between wants and needs. Sometimes it's easy. I want a new Mercedes. I want a bigger house. I want that. You can still ask. I don't know if you can get the answer you want, but you can ask. But sometimes it's unclear because sometimes our own self-evaluation says, no, I don't deserve that, so I won't ask that. The weeds distracting me. Then you ask because it says your heavenly Father wants to give good gifts to those who ask. Your Father will give you everything you need. Here's an interesting thing. His gifts bring his promises and bring his peace. My gifts, the things I want, do not bring peace. Bring satisfaction, maybe for a certain time, but they actually require more from me. Now I got to take care of it. Now I've got to do this with it. Now I've got to make sure this doesn't happen. How many of you have ever bought a car and then just basically almost a panic attack when it's time to go to the market and park it? Where do I park? Am I going to get a ding? Am I going to get a shopping cart hit me? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do all that to protect my things? His gifts bring peace. And then in verse 23, it says, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word, understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. That's the fruitful ground. They hear, they believe, they're living it. They're dwelling with Jesus in it. So their roots grow deep, but they're challenged. Nobody said it's going to be easy, but they're growing. And they're so much growing that they're now multiplying. They're bringing other fruit. They're spreading. If that's you, then you're sent into a world of chaos and desperation. That's what we live in, folks. That so badly needs new hope, that it will cling to anything and anyone that offers even the slightest bit of peace, even the slightest bit of relief from the constant onslaught. So the question then, if that's you, who are you building into? How are you tending to yourself to get deeper with Jesus? The parable of the sower asks us to examine ourselves. It says, what does your field look like? So where are you in this season? What do you need Jesus to do for you? Have you not accepted him? So you know about him and you've heard about him, but you've not made your own personal decision. And so that soil is packed and hardened. And at times the Spirit throws down seeds and you think about it and think about it, but you're not ready yet. And then the birds come and the enemy swipes them away. Is that you? Then you need to put your faith in Jesus. You need to test whatever your concerns are about not taking that step and give it your all, because it's the most important decision you can make. Are you in the rocky soil? You hear it, you accept it, but something's stopping you from getting deeper and closer with Jesus. You need to dwell with Jesus. You need to spend time with Jesus. You need to let him point out the rocks that need to be dug up. Are you in the weedy soil? You hear it. You've accepted it. There was a time you were growing. You were on fire. You were charged up. But now you just feel distracted, down. You've lost your energy. You lost your intensity that you had for Jesus. You need to put your trust in Jesus. You need to pull out the weeds. You need to search for what's true. Pull out the things that are false. And you need to proclaim his promises in a personal way. And then adopt his priorities. Are you in the good soil? You fought, you cleared the rocks, you've dug out the weeds, you feel you're standing on a solid foundation, you're in a good place right now, you understand the peace, you feel a responsibility to carry his light, as we talked about last week. Now you need to be fruitful and multiply and ask God to show you what that direction is. I want to pray for you, but I want to pray specifically for those that are struggling with the distractions, for those that feel disheartened by everything that's going on around them, for those that have lost that fire that Jesus put in them, for those that are even beginning to doubt, maybe your faith is starting to wilt.